And that's Lucille Meadows' daughter? I said, that's who it is. One of Grace Gibbons' daughters. Yes. Reading from the book of Genesis, this is the beginning of the Bible. That's what the name means. Let's begin reading at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, of all the earth, and every tree which is the fruit-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious word. Satan despises God. He despises God's people. He despises God's creation. And he despises God's word. Now, if this word is true, then there's a lot of catching up that humanity and the devil and his crowd need to learn. Number one, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, of everything in it, spiritual and physical, of every personage in it, every situation in it. God is the creator of it all. It did not evolve. It was not an accident. It did not happen by some fluke of nature when everything just sort of blew up one day and the Big Bang theory. None of that happened, my friend. It did not gradually come to take place and have a meeting of the minds of some chemicals and they got together and made man. God made man. You know what's sad about that? Romans chapter 1. Man does not like to acknowledge his creator. Man does not like to acknowledge him. You go read Romans chapter 1. That's why God gives man over to a reprobate mind. Man, same deal with Satan. Satan got a third of the angels and said, well, let's just go up and take over heaven ourselves. Well, human beings, sadly, do not like to acknowledge God. Do not want his knowledge there. Do not want his restrictions there. So human beings rebel against God. But the truth is, my friend, God created man. Now, I have to tell you something. I don't think that we learned, you know, if you listen to your world geography and world history. Yeah, we went to the Cincinnati Zoo one day with the children, and I was askance, a big, at government expense, of course, big mural on the side of the wall. And at this end of the mural was a naked human being standing, a man. And you went back over here to this place on this side of the wall, and there's just a murkiness with maybe a few cells in it. And it shows them coming on through the years to come up. Let me tell you something, my friend. Man has not been advancing. Man has been retreating from where he was created from. If we came from the monkeys, we need to apologize to the monkeys. I have to tell you, because the monkeys have never destroyed the world. The monkeys have never killed 6 million of one group of people in a family. The monkeys have never invented an atomic bomb or a spear or anything like that. We have done that, my friend. We have. And we've done it because we were created by God in the image of God, which gives us the potential to do most anything. In fact, as God said when they started to build the Tower of Babel, He said, if I don't stop them, nothing will be withholden from their hand. And if you could just turn the clock back 100 years, people would be dumbfounded if you could tell them what you could sit in your house and do electronically. They would just be so dumbfounded, they would laugh at you and call you a liar. I remember distinctly people standing up in the congregation in the 50s saying, God will never let them go to the moon. If God had wanted them on the moon, He'd have built a bridge over there. So God doesn't want them to go to the moon, and God won't let them go to the moon. And I just sat and kept my mouth shut because I knew unless God intervened, they'd go to the moon and beyond. And of course, it's happened. Now you can stick your head in the sand and pull the dirt over it like an ostrich and pretend it's not there and say it didn't happen. Had an old man come in the store one day, bless his heart, and he, good old fella, he said, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Kendall. I just want you to know, I know they didn't go to the moon. He said, I've been to Texas. And I said, you've been to Texas? He said, yeah. I saw it on television. He said, that's what Texas looks like. And I'll concede, I've been to Texas, and I've seen some of Texas that looked like that. Out in the deserts and places, I look pretty much like it. But he could pretend, he could believe that they didn't go to the moon. I mean, you know, you can say it's not happening. You know, we've had any number of people rebel at daylight saving time even. You get to the spring and you start to go into daylight saving time, they refuse to move their clocks. Well, it doesn't change anything. It'll be like it is anyway, won't it? Well, as we look at what God has done, God created man. Man's not an accident. Man was created. The New Testament tells us God created him for himself and for his glory. And Satan despises you for that. And Satan despises you for who you are and what you are and what you are capable of being. And Satan despises God's love for you. God loves his creation. I mean, by and large, God should have just zapped Adam and Eve when they ate that off the tree, and that'd been the end of it. Why didn't he do it? Because he had a plan. Because he loved mankind so much. All the things that God has created, and I mean, he's done a bang-up job. I am amazed when I think about it. God comes out one evening, because he always starts in the evening. God comes out one evening and says, we're going to make an earth. He said, let's have light. Let's have stars. Let's have moons. Let's have suns. He comes out one evening and he said, let's have land. And let the oceans go down and let's have oceans separate from the land. He said, I'll tell you what. Let us have trees and vegetation. And in one sentence, God creates every living plant life, vegetation on this planet. Every one of them, from microscopic to huge sequoias. And he comes out the next day and he said, I tell you what let's do. Let's make fish and creatures to go in the sea. And at the same time, let's make birds to fly in the air. So in one word, God says everything from a killer whale to an invisible amoeba in the ocean is done. And in that same word, right out of the water, comes every kind of a bird from an albatross to a hummingbird that can fly. In one word, what a tremendous God. And then he comes out and said, let's make animals. And he makes every creeping thing that goes on the earth, from a cockroach to an elephant. I mean, everything he makes. And you know, God's going around looking at his creation. Every day he comes out to see what he's done. And he said, it is very good. I really like what I've done. Now he says, now you work this out any way you want to in your theology, but I'm going to tell you what God said. God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. You say, well, he was talking to the angels. No, he wasn't. The angels were not made in his image and after his likeness. The angels were created beings, probably created before any of this happened. We don't know how many billions of angels he created. We don't know when he did it, but sometime before the earth was created, God made the angels. So he wasn't talking to the angels. He's talking to himself. Do you realize the word for God, E-L-O-H-I-M, that's there, is a plural word? God is Father, is Son, is Holy Ghost. He's one God, but he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can't explain that. I'm not going to try to. I'm not smart enough to. And by the way, best theologian that Harvard could put out, don't know either. He can't explain God. God is so tremendous, so wonderful, so great, so marvelous. I don't know any way to explain an inexplainable God. We try. That's why we have whole things of theology. We try. But we fail. We come miserably short. So God is going to create man in his own image. And he does it in three stages. My whole purpose of this is to tell you that God created family. God created family. Family did not evolve. It was not a survival of the species. I mean, how long do you think it would take to work out a male organism producing seed and a female organism producing eggs and them together to get together and have the apparatus to get together and have the opportunity to get together and then work it out within the womb of the woman? You sure are a person of faith. You are a person of tremendous faith if you believe that all of that could just explode and happen. Hey, I'm a man of tremendous faith, and I believe that there is an intelligent being called God at the head of this, and he created everything that exists. And he created it in a specific way and for a specific purpose and for his specific plan. Even as God himself is a multiple, so when he created man, he created him a multiple. He said, God created man. How did he create man? Male and female created he them. And then he told them to do what? Multiply, and catch this word, replenish. Sounds like something been here before us. Replenish the earth. Multiply and replenish the earth. Now that's a command from God. And Satan can't do anything about it. It's going to happen. But because he hates God, he can corrupt it. He can cause it to be bad. He can cause it to be something that it's not supposed to be. So when we look at what God has done, God created what? One man. One man. And he called him Adam. And he let him live a while by himself. And the bachelor's life was not for him. He lived by himself, and Adam had to be wondering, why am I made like this? What is my purpose here? And God said, Adam, I've got a job for you. So he goes out and he gets two of all the animals that are living. He gets the stallion and the mare. He gets the sow and the boar. He gets the male and the female of all the creatures in the earth, and he brings them to Adam. And Adam gets to name them. Now, if you read your science book and your geography book and your history book, it's going to tell you that we had to learn about... we had to learn to grunt and all that kind of stuff. Adam was created articulate. Adam was created able to talk, able to reason, able to know. I don't think Adam invented speech. I think he was born with speech. I think he was born intelligent. He was born knowing who he is. And so God talks to Adam. And Adam names all of the creatures in the earth. And then it says this, but for Adam, there was not found a help suitable for him. Everybody else had somebody. And Adam's walking around by himself, alone, and God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Hey, wives, is it good to leave your man alone very long in the house? It's divine revelation. Said, and it was not good for the man to be alone. And so then what did God do? God had one man on the earth. And God said, man, you know, he's been here all this time, and he hasn't had a female companionship. We're going to have to take care of him. So he created him 5 or 6 beautiful women to come and be with him. Is that what it said? God had created one man, and he said, well, I'm going to let him look at all of these chicks and pick out one. No, he didn't do that either. What did he do? God created one man, and he created one woman for one lifetime, and period. He didn't create 2 men to see if that was going to work out. He didn't create 2 women to see if that was going to work out. He created one man and one woman who were suitable, that is meet, M-E-E-T, who were suitable for each other. And he brought them together. And somebody said, I don't believe in sex education. I do. God gave the first class. God brought them together. And you say, well, I don't know if God did all that. He said, multiply and replenish the earth. Wasn't hardly by osmosis, folks. God created the process. So we have one man created by God, one woman created by God, and to them he gave the power to create the third part, the children. So we have one man and one woman and children. That's called a family. That did not evolve. That did not come because of the survival of the species. That came because God made family. Before he made a church, before he made a nation, before he made a king, before he made a prophet, before he made anything else, God created man and woman and children to live and be in a family. Why? Because we are created to live that way. I am a better preacher and a better person today because I am a husband and a father. I would have been intolerable. You couldn't have stood me. Amen. Give her a hand for doing such a good job. You couldn't have stood me. I would have been so unmerciful, so strict, so hard that you couldn't have lived under the ministry. But having the interaction of a wife, having the interaction of being a father and having children, and having felt the tenderness and the love, the responsibility, it honed my personality, and it will yours if you allow it, being a father or a mother. Now, I have to tell you, all of this made Satan as mad as a hornet. He could not stand how man was created. We had something he never had, never could have had, and never will have. We have the power of procreation, yes, but we have the power of love and of companionship, and we have the power of forgiveness and advancement, and the power that we can one day walk with God in heaven and be who God wants us to be. And so Satan can't stop this because God has put it in the heart of woman to be for her man. Read it. God has put it in man's heart to be for his woman. And God has put it in their heart to have the children and to love them and to care for them. You would think, how many of us have been at a live birth? All of us. I don't guess you were born dead. All of us have been at a live birth. But most of us here this morning have been at a live birth when someone else was being born. It's a miracle. It's a wondrous, glorious thing. But let me tell you something. Years ago, before we had any better than a neighbor or a midwife, before we had doctors and hospitals and all the nice things that we have today, you could hear the women screaming off of these hills as they bore a baby. And you would think when a woman went through that she would never, ever, ever want to do that again. But she does, because her heart is to her husband. And the scripture said, as time passes, the love of that child and of her husband dulls the memory of that pain and that agony, and she's willing to risk her life and do it again. God made it this way. And you know what? Satan hates it. He can't stop it, so he's going to corrupt it. You say, he's going to destroy it. And he is out to destroy the family building block, because that's the number one building block God used. Not the church, not the nation, not the king, but the family is the number one building block of human society and human life that God has created. And when we look at it, you say, how Satan does... Satan's done everything to destroy it. Polygamy, for one. Let the man have several women. Or a few places, Pollyanna. You say, what's that? Well, the woman has several husbands. Or maybe concubines. Secondary wives. Only one Sarah, but concubines to go with them. Or slaves. Or the male overpowering abuse of the woman and being insensitive to her needs. Or porn of all kinds. And folks, it's a major problem today. You say, yeah, them people out there. It's a major problem among men, particularly in churches and in positions of power in the pulpit today all over the world. Did you notice, see if I got this right out of the news, that HBO is no longer going to have the risque movies in the nighttime, the adult fare that they once had. You say, well, that's good. No, it's not. You know why? Because porn on the internet has so taken over that the HBO in the nighttime is not doing any good. And you say, well, I don't see what porn hurts. My friend, it corrupts. And it corrupts the relationship between husbands and wives, between sweethearts. It corrupts the relationships that people have. And it's a sin. So what's Satan going to do? Number one, he wants to destroy the man, the male. There is a war against being a man. God would like you to be a man. He made you to be a man. But Satan would like you to be a sissy. Or Satan would like you to be, this would get me put off the radio in Canada and put in jail. Satan would like you to make love to another man rather than to a woman. Satan would like you to corrupt your lifestyle and to be emasculated, that you do not have the authority over your home and the authority in your life that God had intended the male to have. And then God, in His wondrous love, created woman. And yet Satan despises womanhood. Once we held women in this country on a pillow. Once we held them up, mothers, wives were held up to be special and to be treated with respect. Men who ordinarily cursed in a beer joint would not curse in front of the women in their family. Men who ordinarily would say things and do things before other people would not do that in front of their wife or their mother or even a neighbor lady or something, because they respected womanhood and they held womanhood up to be something special. And I confess to you that it is something special and wonderful. And I'll tell you something. Heaven's never seen a woman yet. The spirits of women have gone up to be with the Lord. But physically, heaven has never seen a woman. But in the resurrection, heaven will see male and female walk into heaven. Let me tell you something. God created man in the image, in His image, and in His likeness. You say, yeah, He created a man with big chest and all the other goodies it goes to take to make a man. No, it says that God created man in His own image after His own likeness. Male and female created He him. I'm convinced that the image of God was not complete until Eve was created. When you had Adam and you had Eve and you could see them together and they functioned together, then they, my friend, they are the image of God. And they are capable, even though they are two, they are one. And they are capable of bringing forth new life and new hope and something else called a family. Satan can never have children. Great God, thank you that that's true. Satan can never have children. But you, my friend, have the responsibility and the opportunity to have children. So Satan hates the children, so he wants to destroy them. He wants to take them away from the parents and give the influence of raising them to somebody else. He wants to take the influence of godly parents away from the children and the authority of parents over the children and give that authority to the Department of Social Services or somebody else that will tell the children how to live and tell the children what's right and what's wrong when it ought to be the parents doing it. My friend, it's not the responsibility of the public school to teach your children right and wrong. It's your responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the public school to teach your child about God and religion. It's your responsibility to get them up and take them to church and take them to Sunday school and take them to be involved in Christian things. It's your responsibility. So God chose the family to be the building block that He starts human beings on. And the angelic world can only look on. When God chose to start the human beings, He placed this family building block there. When the time of Noah came and the earth was being destroyed, it was a family that God saved. And when it came time for someone to be chosen, for a Savior to come into the world, and for the world to be evangelized and blessed, it was a family, the family of Abraham, that God chose to use for that. And when His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world, He did not come into a world with two fathers or two mothers. We've come to the point now when I fill out a marriage certificate or I fill out a death certificate, I have to say whether the parent number one is a male or female, father or mother. I have to do that on all of that. And I see where that's going. When he chose to evangelize the world, he chose to do it through a family. That's why Satan has been so determined to destroy the Jews. Because if he had destroyed the Jews, Jesus Christ could not have been born and God would have been a liar. If he could destroy the Jews, then Israel could not have been restored to the Holy Land and the temple could not be rebuilt and Jesus Christ could not come back to that city and walk through that gate into the city of Jerusalem at the end of time. Satan has been out to destroy the family, and he's doing a bang-up job in America, because America has always been the brightest hope of the church and the brightest hope of evangelism and the brightest hope of the family. Of all the places on earth, America has been the place that the family could prosper and the family could flourish above every other place on the earth. But my friends, that brightness is being dimmed. See, how is that? We just kill the babies before they're born. We just kill the babies before they're born. By the millions, we kill the babies before they have the opportunity to be born. We destroy the children by teaching them in the public schools that there is no God and that the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament is just a myth, that we really were an accident in space. And you know what that means? That means we have no responsibility to God. That's why men do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Because if there is a God in heaven, and if there is a God in heaven, the likes of which I have just described to you, a God who created everything, then my friend, we and you and I are responsible to that God, and we have to answer to him for what we've done with our lives and how we've raised our children and how we've treated our wives and our husbands. We have to acknowledge that God, and then we have to acknowledge his plan and his commandments. So Satan wants to destroy the families of America, because if America cannot survive and the families of America cannot survive, then the rest of the world is probably going to hell in a handbasket, because God has used us to spread the word to the world. And you say, boy, it's getting tight. Getting tight. Yes, and that means when you see all these things happening, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. My brothers and sisters, let's keep it holy. Let's keep it holy. Let's keep the family. Let's give the father the rightful place in the home and the mother the rightful place. And the children the rightful place. And yes, then the children will not tell the parents what to do and run the household, but the parents will teach the children and take care of the children. Yes, and if they get bad, we'll swat their bottoms. And so, I don't believe in that. Well, I do. Even if Fern did have to do all of it. My mother and father were not perfect people by any means. But I never doubted one day in my life that they loved me. But I can tell you, if I sassed them back, I was going to get it right across the lips. And I can tell you, if I disobeyed, I was going to get it right across the backside. And it might be a switch, and it might be a belt, and it might be my daddy's hand. And even in those moments, I never doubt that they love me. But I knew they did it because they loved me. Because mother'd say, "You're not growing up like the rest of the heathen around here." It's our responsibility. Let us make our family strong. If you can't keep the trash off of your computer, then what does it say? If your right hand offends you, cut it off. If you can't keep your TV on the right thing, if your left hand offends you, cut it off. If you have friends that you have to talk filthy with and mess around filthy with, then get rid of them. Amen? God created families. Let us not let Satan destroy ours, but let us make him strong that we can live what he wants us to live. Let us pray. Eternal Holy God, thank you for your great blessings and love. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to share the gospel today, not only here but around the world by the ways of electronics. Father, I pray that wherever this message is preached and wherever this message is played, I pray the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, will bless and touch. Father, I pray that fathers and mothers and children will be challenged to make family the great thing it's designed to be. Father, help us to realize that we are not accidents, but we are the creation of God. And Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost will come. The Holy Ghost will bless. Spirit of God will undertake. And God, I pray that you'll forgive us in America for the stupidity we've exhibited in allowing things to happen as they are. But help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Oh, God, send preachers with backbones enough to stand up. Send teachers to teach and send godly people, Father, to stand up before the world. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, our country needs you. Our world needs you. I pray that your Spirit will bless and will touch and will not fail to give you praise and honor and glory in Christ's holy name. Congregation said amen.